Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Through about six rounds of my draft here that I was doing, I previewed it a few days ago now, previewed some of the strategy and tactics that I was going to do. I figured I would. It's pretty high value time to know just ideas on market value. So again, I'll just lay out some of the settings just so you have an idea, just so you can recall. Superflex, tight end premium, two running backs, three wide receivers, and two flexes plus the superflex spot. 28-man rosters. If you're familiar with the safe leagues, it is a safe leagues knockoff. So that's where we get the format from. So just some things of note. We did include, I think this is a pretty key one. We did include rookie picks in the actual draft, so you could select, you know, rookie 101, rookie 102. Those went off the board to the same person at 202 and 204. I was at 202. I actually selected in the first round. I selected Russell Wilson. I am glad that I did that for reasons that I won't get to in a minute. He was the seventh quarterback off the board at 111. So I kind of knew that it was going fast. And if I wanted to bail, I needed to sort of be inside the line. No wide receivers had gone off. I didn't really have a huge preference at wide receiver one. And Russell Wilson just fit in terms of me taking him there. Like I said, I'm glad that I did. I'll get to that in a minute. So I trade out of 202, and I tried a number of different offers. I was finally able to get one done. I gave up 202, and really the goal for me was to get to the fourth round. I said I want to sort of get another pick in that range. I wanted to trade down a couple of times to get in that fourth through sixth range, and really hammer that spot. This was the lone deal I've been able to do so far, and sort of the way the board turned, I kind of I had a hard time getting out of a couple of spots where I wish I could have. I kind of had to stop runs, that sort of thing. So I went 202 to 404, picked up a 12th, so I picked up 1204, and then I picked up a 2022 first round pick. Like I said, the 2021 first round picks are in the draft. So they will be any picks that you're trading or future picks. It's actually in 2022. So again, you are waiting a year plus to make that selection, but it's insulated. It's not going anywhere, and it's on the back of your roster. Again, I picked up a pick exactly where I wanted to. I didn't think there was a huge difference in terms of 202 versus 404. It's generally the same range. So felt pretty good about that. And getting the extra 12th there, that's really the kicker. I love to get the 2-for-1, 3-for-1 deals in terms of getting picks back, just to have a pick ahead of everybody else, or, you know, ahead of pace. So that way, when you're doing that, it's so critical. Even if it's later on, what you'll see is you'll find yourself getting ahead of pace, right? So you feel ahead of comfort, whether that's quarterback 4, or tight end 3, or, you know, running back 5 or wide receiver 6 or whatever, right? You're constantly feeling like you're not catching up, right? That you're able to get out in front of your plan just a little bit. Again, it is later on, so it would have been nice if it was like an 8th round or something like that. But again, you sort of get out to there. There's going to be quarterbacks in that range I'm going to be interested in, I think. There's going to be tight ends I'm fairly confident of, running backs as well. Probably not as many wide receivers, but to get ahead on the pace a little bit, it's good to be there. So just in terms of some of the other picks here, I'm just looking down some of the other trades. I was really one of the only ones to get an extra pick in this draft. Most people were getting either it was a future pick plus one this year, or they were doing 2-for-2s, 3-for-3s, those sorts of deals. So that was it's pretty nice to get out in front of that and, you know, just have that other extra pick. I love to have like 14 picks in the first 12 rounds. So I'm getting 13 picks in the first 12 rounds. I love to be sort of ahead by 2. I haven't been able to do it yet. Maybe I will. Sort of I get in the middle rounds I found some success going back a couple rounds, picking up like another 12th in that range as well. So I'm going to try that tactic. We'll see how it works. It's a pretty flat tier out there. So if you feel comfortable just, you know, kind of letting it slide by, you know, letting some players go, but you sort of get multiple shots in there. That's really the recipe for success out there with some of the hit rate stuff. So excited to be ahead of pick there. It turns really well for me, honestly. This couldn't have gone better for me as I am sitting here through six rounds, almost through six rounds. The person traded up, right, traded 404 and traded that 12th to 202 to take 101 in the rookie draft. All right, so that's probably going to be Lawrence. That actually is very good for me because – As he made the pick, I said, that's great. It's probably going to boost up my equity on that future first next year, right? That's something that could be trending towards non-playoff, right? That's instantly what I thought of. Hey, you're going to rely on Lawrence as being quarterback one. Like, go ahead, right? Like, I want to be on the other side of that bat. It opens up another potential playoff spot, and it opens up that pick to be one of mine, right? So it's kind of declaring yourself early on. I think that's a really negative EV bet in terms of going about it that you have to be so sure on Lawrence. You have to be, and you got to be right. That is ahead of Burrow, for example. It's ahead of, it was ahead of Rodgers, Tannehill. Lamar Jackson had just gone off the board. I was probably going to hit Lamar Jackson on the way back if he made it to me. He went in between my picks. So I picked at 11 Wilson. 12 was, 12 was actually, Darren Waller, excuse me. He was double. There was a double pick in that round, and they're both the same color, so it was hard to see. So he made it in the first round. Again, it's tight end premium, but give you an idea, some of the values here were pretty. That's pretty aggressive. And so Jackson goes right before me, and then that's when I bailed out at 202. So I would have probably taken Jackson and went Wilson Jackson to start, just because I thought the value was right on Jackson there. It would have been quarterback 8. Was where he went. So, so traded out. So then that GM was on the spot, two picks later, right? So his actual pick would have been at 4 in the round. So it's like, all right, well, maybe he'll back it up with, you know, something that's more contending. We'll see how it goes. Takes 102. So it really broke my way in terms of that being again, a potential really high pick, because if you're going to rely on two quarterbacks out the gate for a super flex draft this early. Now, again, is he going to move? Is he going to try and trade those? Is he, you know, it's a tough, I'll say, to get return on that. He's given up a lot to try and make those flip pieces, right? So, you know, as the person that has Lamar Jackson going to, you know, they've already passed on the pick, right? So I sort of look at, all right, yes, you have liquidity. You've got all those things. But it was an odd construction, taking Kelce 101, 102, and then he came back Metcalf. And in the fifth round, he took 104. So again, unless there's something sort of a secondary move here, my first next year is looking pretty good in terms of the one that I acquired. Plus, again, it helps me in terms of a contending window when you sort of identify some of these other team builds. A couple people have traded out of the first couple rounds. Jefferson, Jacobs, Clyde Edwards-Helaire was a build. There's four running backs: Barkley, Kamara, Chubb, Gibson, Godwin was a start. So there's some structural risk there. McCaffrey, Taylor, Akers, Jalen Hurts is quarterback one, Aaron Jones, right? So there's some risk there as well. So as I sort of look at the board, I feel I'm reassessing after I have four picks made so far, and I'm actually on the clock at 5:11 as I'm recording this podcast. I can sort of see the board opening up for me to say, all right, I'm not going to press all my chips in right now, but again, stay flexible. I think a now timeline is fine in terms of it's going to be probably people drafting a little bit longer term. And so again, if a couple of people want to take themselves out of contention, you have another build where it was Mahomes, Watson, and then DJ Moore was the next pick in round 5. So again, there's holes in some of these teams. Again, not all of them are gonna tank or anything like that. But when you sort of look at them, all right, it opens up some access to the top of the board that if everyone was drafting for this year, it's nice to kind of go the other way. You got three or four guys taking kind of a longer term view of things. You can sort of flip on the other side of that and, you know, make some decisions that can sort of, you know, you can contend this year and some optionality for the future. So that's kind of where I sit right now as I'm making decisions. So I go Wilson in the first round, and then five tight ends go off. Mark Andrews, so it's Kelsey. It's Kittle is tight end one. Kelsey is tight end two. They're 108 and 109. Darren Waller is tight end three at 112. Mark Andrews goes down at 210 is tight end four. So there's a good size gap there between those guys. A few picks later at 301 is TJ Hockenson. And then I really had a tear break at that point. And I was looking at some of the advanced stuff for Noah Fant. And I really like what I saw in terms of the yards per route run and all that. He's way up there, right? It's a pretty good start to the career. He just hasn't had huge touchdown numbers and those sorts of things, and it gets a little clouded out because they're kind of a disaster. But yeah, I'm pretty optimistic on his career track. So getting either him or Hockenson as tight end one was going to be a goal at that third round spot. Felt good about it. And ultimately, when I got to 311, I had 402 and 404 as well. I sort of debated about, you know, should I take him here? Should I take somebody else? You know, what was going to be the plan? I went Fant just to lock him in, and then, you know, I had him. So then 402 rolls around, and Michael Thomas is sitting there in green lights. He's at wide receiver nine. To give you an idea, guys in front of him, there wasn't a wide receiver off until 212. That was Tyreek Hill at wide receiver one. And then there was a good chunk of guys in the third round there. So it was Devontae Adams, wide receiver two, Stephon Diggs, wide receiver three, Justin Jefferson, wide receiver four, DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver five, let's see, DK Metcalf, wide receiver six, AJ Brown, seven, CD Lamb, eight. So all those guys go ahead of me, and I take Michael Thomas. One of the things, I actually pass this along to the GroupMe chat, and I just, it's a, the clip from RotoViz, they have like a game split app, and that is basically, hey, what's the split with or without a player, right? So with Drew Brees, without Drew Brees. Michael Thomas has been exactly the same player with him and without him. So again, the sample on him, he's played 70 games. The sample on him, it's 6-1, 60 starts for Brees, 10 without Brees, but they're the same numbers. I did some additional digging. Without Brees, it's essentially a lower passing volume, but essentially more market share to him. So again, is that something that's totally long-term, repeatable? Not sure, but when you sort of look, you know, a couple of guys down, so Ridley goes right behind him. You know, I think that's a fair, you know, that's a fair spot for Ridley at 10. That actually feels like value over some of the guys in front of him. And then you sort of look, DJ Moore gets up there at wide receiver 11, Chris Godwin at wide receiver 12. So there is some, right, like there's, I don't think DJ Moore has the ceiling that Michael Thomas does. And even if it's, hey, a reduction in 20% of targets, that's still, in a healthy year, that's 130 targets, right? And you can sort of do that, even if they're going to run more, even if it's a Taysom Hill offense, right? I still think that's a fine projection for him in that range. So feel fine about that. Again, I am collecting targets, and I want sort of targets over the long term. That's really what I'm looking for, and I think a lot of the efficiencies, they ultimately work themselves out by and large. So that's really what I'm looking for. And with Thomas, you sort of anchor that as a wide receiver one. And then I got to 404, and Zeke Elliott's on the board at 212, or at running back 12, excuse me. I thought about, it was either going to be, I was sitting there at 402 and had Thomas. He was a clear target for me there. There was nobody else. It was either him. It was basically three guys. There was no quarterbacks that I was going to take. It was either him, Zeke, or Clyde Edwards-Helaire was going to be the play. Jacobs did go between my picks, so I went Fant at 311, and then it was Josh Jacobs at 401. So to give you an idea, that's, I think that's value there. He's behind, that's running back. That's running back 10. So that's ahead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but behind Dobbins, behind Akers, you know, behind Nick Chubb. So I do think there's some value there with Jacobs. I know the bad news right now with the DUI or whatever happened with him. Yeah, if he loses a couple games, it might not even be until 2022. But that profile is like really good. And that's a really good value for a guy that's going to be 23 years old, coming off two top 24 seasons with round one pedigree. Like, that's a brilliant profile. And so you're getting him at running back 10. That just feels like value. So he's a person that I would explore in the trade market. Again, if you can get, I mean, it's the range in which I went from a first round startup to a second round startup pick to a fourth round startup pick plus a future first, right? That's the, basically they went almost exactly near those spots. Is that something you can do in an existing league? Not sure. But if you could, I mean, that's, it seems like a good value there to explore something like that. You know, it's the same with Kamara, is in that same range. Swift is in that same range too. Swift's a little bit later than that. But those are sort of the values that are lying out there. So, you know, Chubb for Jacobs plus, right? That would, those are all things that I think warrant some consideration. J.K. Dobbins is going ahead of him. Is J.K. Dobbins like a younger version of Josh Jacobs by a year with less pedigree? Because I don't see how he's going to have significantly more passing volume than Jacobs, right? So all of those things kind of point to me to say Jacobs, I think, is an explorer in the trade market for sure. If not in, you know, in startups as well. But I, you know, if you can take that at running back 10, that's pretty good. So, but I felt there was a pretty good tier there. I could take Jacobs, Edwards-Helaire, Elliott, and feel fine about it as running back one. So the drop off was bigger for me from Fant down, but I would have, he would have been a target there had he made it to me a couple more picks. I thought there was a chance that he could slide with Elliott still there and Edwards-Helaire still there as well. I thought there was a chance that he could slide one more pick to me, but he goes off right in front of me. So Thomas and Elliott are my picks there. I get back and it's at the end of the fifth round, and I've got, I'm going to take a quarterback. I'm deciding between Matt Ryan and Jared Goff. Those are basically the last two guys that I think are multi-year starters. I'll probably take Goff as I sit here thinking about it a little bit more. Just, I'm a little concerned with some of the stuff with Ryan, some of the drop in efficiency stuff. He's older, and you know, there could be some changes there. We don't necessarily know what it's going to look like. So all that said, I just think Goff's a little bit more insulated in terms of, he's got a little bit more leeway in terms of where he goes in his career. So I will probably go that route. Update on rookie picks. 103 was taken at 504. So that's there in the 50s. And 104 was at 509. So back half of the fifth round. So I think they're actually now at this point, they're actually becoming a little bit more of a value. So I could actually see myself exploring like 105, something like that, because that actually could be a quarterback. So I think could be a reasonable pick to be one of a top 10 quarterback in this draft. So that might be a situation that I go, or it's either going to be running back two or wide receiver one. So again, I might not sit there and bang at wide receiver one, but it gives me some optionality going forward. So those are really the things that I'm looking at in terms of this. I'll give you some more updates in terms of some player values that sort of ran down the running backs. Jalen Hurts, quarterback 15. Tua, quarterback 16. So that market's cooled off a little bit. He goes behind Baker, so Baker's at 14. Tannehill's at 13. There was about a round gap there, a little over a round gap, almost round and a half gap between Tannehill at quarterback 13 and Mayfield at quarterback 14. So basically at that point, almost everyone had one. There's still two teams that don't have one. It's going to get interesting at this point. And I'll say, I do think you have to be different. In terms of my strategy, I talked about this in the preview to the show. I think you want to try and beat, right? You want to try and be able to beat the closing line market value, kind of like you're betting. it's tough to do that taking aging quarterbacks right now, right? Taking Breeze, taking Brady, taking Ben, you know, taking Rivers. And because you don't want to expend a pick there, build a team around that pick, and it be a retirement, right? That's pretty dangerous. So I will say, like, if I was going to be drafting this draft in August and I had all that information, I'd be treating it much differently, right? I'd be treating it much, much differently in terms of where I'm at quarterback. I could pass on Wilson, right? I think I mentioned this in the preview there. I only really feel comfortable with, in terms of quarterbacks, being multiple year guys, right, that I feel really good about. I only felt really good about 12 or 13 of them. Right, so that was Mahomes, Wilson, Prescott, Watson, Allen, Murray, Jackson, Rodgers, Herbert, Burrow, Goff, Tannehill, and Cousins. Right, so I had to figure out kind of where I am on that line in terms of being inside that. If I take Goff, I'll be at 2 inside that line. So you feel good about that. And then you sort of get outside, and these are different bets, right? How do you bet on Brady, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Garoppolo, Bridgewater, Rivers, right? How do you make those bets? The young guys you're unsure about, Daniel Jones, Trubisky, Darnold, Locke, Love, Haskins, right? Those guys. Again, that's not in any particular order. You know, longer term, maybe potential guys that don't have starting jobs right now, Wentz, Newton, Winston, Hill, Mariota, right? So that veteran unsure guy place is one that I usually like to tap into, right? Brady, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Rivers. I think in all the Superflex drafts I've done in the past, I don't know, let's call it 2-3 years, they've all been, I mean, the line on me drafting those guys is one, right? At least one. So it's probably the over in a draft that I come out with one of Brady, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Rivers. And so, you know, this year, at this point, I don't feel comfortable going there, right? And that's not to say that I can't recommend Rivers as being a target. You know, if we get another year out of him, I'm sure he's going to be a target player again. But I just don't know. Tough to do that in a super flex draft now, right? Tough to build around that. If there's a scenario where, you know, in you know, 6, 8, 10 rounds, some of these guys are available, yeah, let's do the discount plan, right? Like, let's, Carson Wentz is really interesting. Jameis Winston's really interesting. Taysom Hill, all interesting. But that's at discounts, right? That might be quarterback, you know, 4 or 5, something like that, in terms of like a Winston Wentz, something like that. Or even 3, I guess, or maybe I got a rookie pick or something in there ahead of that. Don't feel confident doing that really as like a third option. So it's probably more in the 4 line, but 2 definitely for sure. And then if you start stacking them together, you can mitigate some of your risk that you're not going to have anyone. But that's really the game you have to play, and I think it's different than the game you're playing in August, right? So you have to have a different mentality in terms of what you're actually looking for. So it's a lot of balance of that at this point. Again, looking at different things, just trying not to get harpooned, right? Draw safe is really the name of the game early in Superflex drafts in January, right? It's good to be in here, not taking a lot of risks. We know nothing about what's going to happen in August. Just ask your 2020 version of yourself what you knew what was going to happen in August, and you'll get my yeah, ask the January 2020 version of yourself what August of 2020 was going to look like, and you wouldn't have predicted that. So, so that's really the thing with this, building some optionality, building some flexibility. All right, rookie picks are safe, all that stuff. So that's kind of where I'm at in terms of value. Again, nothing huge in terms of – I didn't think there was any surprises. I know a couple of people are following along with the draft that I actually know, just checking out some data, and you know, they mentioned, yeah, it seems pretty efficient, you know. It's, so I think that's all, you know, I think that's all, I think it's right, you know. I think there's a lot of, I think it's largely efficient. I haven't seen any crazy, you know, any super crazy trends, but some interesting team builds. Like I said, 4 running backs through the first 5 rounds for 2 different teams. Both of them don't have a quarterback. you know, there's three teams, excuse me, one of them has a quarterback. So yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's certainly an interesting build at this point, for sure. So I am thinking about the tight end position a little bit differently. If it doesn't warrant going maybe a little bit earlier at tight end than I typically would. One thing I'm thinking about more and more in team building is to have access to making deals. And that's one thing that I've been not super in tuned with, because I think it's probably like a losing proposition trying to chase market value. But there's a difference between trying to chase market value and having optionality in terms of deals, right? It's really tough to buy a discount, slow starting Deshaun Watson when your quarterback one is Matthew Stafford, right? It's really tough to make that deal. Much easier to do a Russell Wilson for Deshaun Watson plus, or depending on where you're at in the market right now, it would be a Russell Wilson plus for Deshaun Watson, right? Those sorts of things. A lot tougher to do that when you're coming up from Kirk Cousins or coming up from Matthew Stafford. So thinking about building some balance in terms of that. Again, still going to go heavy running back later, but I do think having flexibility in tiers of quarterbacks and tight ends in particular give you the access to have some more flexibility in terms of roster construction and deals. So that's definitely something I'm experimenting with this draft each year. And again, for me, it's a little bit different maybe than for someone that's playing one or two startup drafts. Part of it for me is research, right? Part of it for me is, hey, here's content, here's advice that I can give, you know, here's things I'm trying out in terms of strategy that maybe I write about, or maybe I do a podcast about, or, you know, if people have questions, right? I sort of have some of the live fire stuff, just try some different builds, right? So again, not taking suboptimal decisions, but just in terms of what lines I want to get into. For sure at tight end, it was up a line, right? Because I feel less good about Ingram, for example, right? So that would be a year prior, it would have been, you know, I felt good about him, right? Or maybe Ertz would have been in that line. So it's a little bit different each year. This is a good example of that. I feel good inside the line of Fant. So Fant and Hockenson probably for the rest of their careers will be attached. I think there's a chance that maybe Evan Ingram falls. So I'll watch for that. Be interested to see a guy like Logan Thomas get overdrafted as well. So, a couple of notable late fallers: Derrick Henry, running back 16, Aaron Jones, running back 18, Austin Eckler, running back 19, James Robinson, running back 17, Mixon at 14, Gibson at 13. So there's some interesting ordering there in terms of how late Henry's going, for example. So I was going to take Elliott over him, but again, if he wasn't really a target player for mine, it's not typically the route that I go at running back. But I think it is interesting. You get a little bit of discount on him. So the guy that took him actually sets up, he's got some questions, I think, maybe at the eliteness of the quarterback position, but he's got Derrick Henry as his running back 3. Right? That could be really interesting coming into this year, and actually traded down out of the first round as well. So, yeah, so it's an interesting build there. So he has 6 picks through 501. So way ahead of the curve there in terms of building out some depth. So those are always nice when you can get them. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Again, just wanted to run down some of the stuff. Just, again, it's just getting some reps in terms of mental, and it's getting a little bit of live fire in terms of value, right? Aaron Jones at running back 18, right? That's eye-opening. Eckler at 19, that's eye-opening as well. So again, I think trading down in that 4th, 5th, 6th round, I mean, no Amari Cooper, no Mike Evans off the board yet. It's kind of an embarrassment of riches at this point in terms of some of the guys still available. It might actually warrant a consideration of, hey, do I want to move up, right? Like, again, do I want to maybe use a little future capital? I have the pick in my back pocket. Do I want to come up and move up and snag some of these falling value guys, right? That is a situation I typically don't exploit, but that's one I think certainly if value is going to continue to fall, I think that's a very, very interesting thing. So again, guys still on the board: Allen Robinson, Mike Evans, Amari Cooper, right? That's really Juju Smith-Schuster, right? Terry McLaurin still available. So I think there is some interesting stuff. If I was to give one overall piece of advice, I think this is going to be a year you can wait on wide receiver. Hit some of the guys we like, Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks and Jarvis Landry. And, you can kind of run it back with some of the guys that we were targeting last year. I think it's really interesting this year, just being able to wait and pick guys that you really like. So, all right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.